How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? On our desert island this week is a great figure, a towering figure in the world of music. In fact, he's done more for music in this country than any other man at any time. We were fortunate in getting half an hour of his time in his hotel room in Paris in the midst of a hectic tour of the continent with his own orchestra, the Royal Philharmonic. Here is Sir Thomas Beecham. Welcome ashore, Sir Thomas. How would you face the idea of a desert island exile? Would the loneliness be hard to bear, do you think?
I don't think I'd be very lonely for a while. And up to the moment, the only place I've been able to think of as like to provide me with sanctuary on such an occasion is jail. But I've never managed to get into jail. I've tried hard, but it's never come off yet.
I can't promise that this island will be even as comfortable as jail, but the climate's better, and you do have those 8 gramophone records.
Oh, gramophone records. Well, of course, I could put up with a few of those on certain conditions.
Certain conditions? What conditions?
Well, it's very difficult for me, being a man of exceeding modesty and reticence, as you know, to explain simply. I don't know many gramophone records now other than those of my own. I've always found some difficulty in listening to my records, but not half as much difficulty as I've found in listening to those of other persons.
Well, there's no reason why you shouldn't take some of your own, Sir Thomas, the whole 8, if you like. Now, speaking generally, what type of record do you think would be best value under desert island conditions? Symphonies, opera, songs, program music?
Well, I think on the whole, operatic records. They provide more variety than symphonic work. You have the orchestra, of course, and you have singers who are, of course, more often than not, a source of exasperation to me. But still, you have choruses as well. There is more variety in a good operatic record.
And in these notes I had from you, you have La Bohème. Now, I'm hoping this is going to mean something from your own recent complete recording of the opera with Victoria at Los Angeles. It's really pretty magnificent.
Well, everyone seems to think that the Bohème is very good throughout. I think a very successful piece of recording and very appealing to in sentiment is the duet in the last act between Mimi and Rodolfo when she's brought in the room to die.
Well, let's hear that. Victoria at Los Angeles, and Jussi Björling. Now, the next item you have listed is Handel arrangement. You've made quite a lot of arrangements for Handel's music, haven't you?
Most people call them derangements. There are two I like very much. I've now been quite frank about it. But I really took enormous trouble over them. And it took me about 20 or 25 years to discover how to rearrange Handel for the modern orchestra, and yet make it not too un-Handelian. It isn't easy. The first effort I made was in the Gods Go A-Begging, which was not altogether successful from my point of view. The next one I did, I didn't care about, although it's played frequently, The Origin of Design. I don't consider I got on to the right treatment until I did The Faithful Shepherd. Well, I have pulled off what I was endeavoring to achieve, which was a species of compromise between a Handel of the 18th century and the orchestral resources of the 20th. I do feel that I've retained almost essentially a Handel, at the same time adapted it to the modern concert hall, and even more so, a piece which is not played nearly so much, The Great Elopement.
The Great Elopement. Shall we hear the hornpipe? There, the famous few bars of Rule Britannia at the end, which I believe you added to celebrate a British naval victory during the last war, which coincided with the first performance of the work in the United States. Now, back to these notes, Sir Thomas. Your next choice is an aria from Zauberflöte, the Magic Flute. You said just now that singers are more often than not an exasperation. Now, is there anyone you definitely accept from that?
Tauber made more of the music than any other that I know. He sang for me in the Entführung as Belmonte, and he sang in the Zauberflöte, and in some respects the best Tamino I ever had.
Well, shall we hear then Richard Tauber as Tamino in The Magic Flute? Loveliness beyond compare. What are your views on opera on television?
Very poor view, I take. I haven't seen anything good yet. I think the limited stage is a great drawback. And then the bringing the artists, you know, so near to the front. You see clamping jaws and contortions of faces of singers and frenzied efforts to achieve the right kind of sound on high notes. It's really very much of a caricature, you know, up to the moment.
You have no plans to set about it yourself and have some changes made?
You can't put it right with the greater number of operatic works. You can't. I did part of Irbelin of Delius, which wasn't so bad, because the singers haven't got to go through this ordeal, you know, of action. They were quiet and they sang simply. Because Delius is not a very demonstrative writer in operatic works. His principal characters are inactive and dreamlike. They're not like Tristan and Isolde, where they bawl and scream, which is all right on the big stage in a big theater, but in this small area of television, it's ludicrous.
Yes, it's a tricky problem. Well, let's get back to your Desert Island Discs. What now?
Well, I'm going to take you into another domain to which I attach considerable value, because it's the sort of thing that is done very rarely. It's done well by only one or two people. They are humorists, these. And at the head of the group is that great French caricaturist of music, Monsieur Beethoven of France. This gentleman has caricatured most of the famous composers of music, as well as the styles of differing countries, such as Spain, France, China, America, Great Britain, and so on. What I'm about to play you are two caricatures of his of the music of Wagner and Rossini, respectively.
Oh, terreur, oh, tristesse, oh, catastrophe inévitable. Le chapeau du président a des plumes de poulet. Traité de Locarno assurera la paix au monde. Et le beefsteak sera pour rien.
Here is another example of humor, or should we say grotesquerie in music. The artist who sings this song was Florence Foster Jenkins, and for three decades was one of the idols of New York City. She enjoyed a reputation in the United States for something like 30 years. And people are still undecided, after all that time, whether the lady was a caricaturist or whether she was taking herself with complete seriousness. For my part, it is such a remarkable and subtle art that I cannot think of it in any other terms with that of remarkable caricature.
My profile's green, and fair my cheek, with nature's ocean skew. Je ne souhaite not convince you yet, I think you surely will. So look through your glasses and see my costume.
I think you will agree with me that that was a very extraordinary effort.
That's the word. Now, Sir Thomas, the next item, all I have here is the word symphony.
The Balakian of Symphony. It's one of those pioneering, underivative works that make their appearance now and then. And it throws a flood of light upon other Russian composers, like Rimsky. They owe an awful lot to Balakirev, who really was a pathfinder and a remarkably independent and successful pioneer, not a bungling fellow who just put something down. The actual accomplishment of this symphony is far greater than most people realize. The orchestration, the themes, the whole mood, the architecture, all those things are quite unique.
second movement of Balakirev's First Symphony. When I have written down popular song, I believe I'm right in guessing that it won't be a crooner. I think you've expressed your views before on that subject. Who's it to be?
A singer whose command of the language, our language, or rather the Scottish language, was, in my opinion, unrivaled. I speak of Harry Lauder. You will hear one of his most popular songs and a favorite record of mine.
I love a laddie, a bonny, bonny laddie. She's as pure as the lily in the dell. She's as sweet as the heather, the bonny purple heather, Mary Muscutch Bluebell. I love a laddie, a bonny, bonny laddie. She's as pure as the lily in the dell.
I Love a Lassie by Sir Harry Lauder. Now we come to your last record. What have you saved until the end?
Well, I'd like to have a Mass of Life of Delius, undoubtedly, because it has the greatest amount of variety in it of any work of his, apart from some of his really first-rate writing. I think he agreed with that, estimate himself. Of all the pieces of Delius, if I had to choose one, you know, to take around with me in my pocket, I'd choose a Mass of Life.
Of Delius's A Mass of Life. Well, there are your eight records, but before we let you go, there are one or two traditional questions in these programs, apart from the choice of records. Well, firstly, how efficient do you think you'd be as a castaway? Could you look after yourself on a desert island?
I think I could, you know. I should find it much more difficult now than I would have done 25 years ago, because I've got very much used now to married life. Prior to that, I did look after myself, with the assistance, of course, of an excellent factotum.
Good. An optimistic outlook is surely half the battle. You could get some food. You could fish or trap.
Oh, I could do that. After a little practice, a little revolver practice, for I once was a very good shot, one of the best in England.
Now, wait a minute. I'm afraid you're not as well equipped as that. You haven't a revolver.
Well, then I have to make a catapult.
Fine, if you can find a rubber tree for the elastic, otherwise it'll have to be a sling. If you were allowed to take one luxury onto the island, any one thing you like that isn't of any practical use?
An inanimate thing. You mean not a living creature?
It has to be inanimate.
Good Havana cigar.
You shall have the biggest box that we can find.
Would I be doomed to remain on this desert island for the rest of my life? Or is there any hope of escape?
Oh, don't worry. We'll get you off somehow. You, sir, are one of the men who give excitement and savor to the times we live in, and there are far too few, and we want you with us. Incidentally, it's very good news that you'll be returning to Britain in April. Thank you, Sir Thomas Beecham, for letting us hear your choice of desert island discs. Goodbye, everyone.